7. Exploring. A couple more weary, dragging hours passed, and the storm, though still raging, began to abate. Prudence leaned across her mother and father, who by now had drifted into a shallow, jerky sleep. She tugged at her brother's tunic. "Are you awake?" she whispered. "Shh," hissed Justice in reply. "You'll awaken father." "I've had enough of sitting here, haven't you? Do you feel like exploring?" she said. Justice needed no second invitation. They cast rapid, furtive glances about them. Their parents were asleep. Their neighbors were asleep. Now was the time. Now, quickly, they slipped their ropes, the knots submitting to their eager fingers. They were free. Prudence pulled Justice close. She whispered in his ear, "Down below." She motioned towards the steps. They scuttled as fast as they could to the steps that led below. In no time at all, they had slipped down to the lower deck. "Let's go down to the stores and see what damage the seawater has done." Prudence had a mischievous glint in her eyes. "You know we were forbidden to go down there. Remember? By that horrible sailor," said Justice, in a voice that tended to falter slightly. Prudence could detect that he would not long resist. "You're afraid," she said. "No, I'm not. Not really afraid." "Well, if you won't come with me, I shall go alone," she said defiantly. With that, she was gone. Justice hesitated, but only for a moment. He was being tugged both ways at once. He felt his qualms holding him back like a chain, but his curiosity pulled him down, much as a magnet draws a nail. He shrugged his shoulders, as one who had made his decision, cast caution to the wind, and he too disappeared into the gaping hole. He immediately missed his footing and fell down the first few steps. He was only stopped from hurtling all the way to the bottom by crashing into his sister. "Shh," she hissed. "Shh, I was caught. Can't you mind where you're going?" "Sorry." Justice was much abashed. "I slipped." They stopped and listened. It was all right. They had not been discovered. They could hear nothing but the hissing of the sea. No, that was not all. They could just, only just, detect the sound of human voices, faraway voices. But the sound came not from above, it beckoned from below. They could not sort out the words of the conversation. The voices were too distant and indistinct for that. But both children had a longing to find out more. An insatiable longing. They could see nothing at all below. Justice inched his way down the steps as carefully as he could. The voices grew louder and more distinct. Still he could see nothing. His sister kept close behind. Gradually, a veiled dimness of light came into view. A large beam, just at head height, loomed before Justice. He ducked his head below the offending joist. He saw the store's hold spread out before him. The light and conversation came from a far corner. There a huddle of sailors had a rough sea-chest decked as a table with a bottle and glasses upon it. Justice saw it all in the light cast by a tallow dip upon the table. Coins glinted in the flickering light. The sailors did not look up to notice their observer. Their attention was solidly fixed upon the pressing business of the gambling table before them. Justice withdrew his head from the hole. He put his mouth close to his sister's ear.
"Men! Sailors! Gambling!" he whispered.
He gently pulled her sleeve.
"Come on!"